Okay. I'm not Shimon. Shimon is unavailable, so I will try and present on his behalf as best as I can. Beautiful remote web dialogue widgets built on LOT, which is LibreOffice technology, because I've prepared for this talk and I know that. So what is this? The various dialogues in LibreOffice are described in these .ui files, XML files with the structure and properties of the dialogues. So that XML input gives you this output on the left in the say, GTK, for example, at which point you have various graphical editors, Glade or contemporary ones, where you can edit the dialogues and you convert them and you can interact with that structure there. So that's just what you have in LibreOffice and how those dialogues exist already. And then for the purposes of Collabora Online or something like that, we have JS dialogues, which is a framework for exposing those UI components over into the online LO kit experience. So what you end up with there is that you have on the server side, you have the same kind of dialogues internally you get on the desktop situation. And there's a snapshot of the structure there is dumped into a JSON thing, and it's sent over the wire to the online side. And in the online side, it takes a JSON, and similarly to what you have in the server side, where you load up your .ui and you create dialogues from that, you have a UI builder on the online side that takes that JSON and it constructs dialogues from it, initially constructs dialogues from it. And then afterwards, it can be used to update the dialogues when things change in the server side that are transmitted across in this JSON. When you make changes, say on the server side, that something is selected or the text is changed, it comes across in this JSON, this UI builder and whatnot, updates everything on the client side to give you dialogues on the client side that are basically being transmitted from the server side. There's a bit of flexibility here in that this JS dialogue builder, when it gets the input in, you can have multiple implementations that can decide on different ways to express that information. So you can have your classic notebook bar shown at the top of the online browser, the same as similarly to get the desktop experience. Or for a smaller platform for the mobile device, you can convert that and show it in different ways. So if we take a look at the classic sidebar shown in the middle, you can see on the right-hand side that sidebar information is being displayed suitable for a mobile device. In a different view of that data, which is very visually different than the source data comes from. So the layout adapts to different things. Other things that are available in JS Dialogue is that there's dark mode support at the kind of end widget level. You just say, you know, draw in dark mode, and we have these two various themes going on there like that. As I kind of hinted at to earlier, is that when you send over your dialogue, first you get this full update, and for optimizing reasons, we try to apply minimal updates as possible. So if a small part of the subtree changes, we just update that tree and update what's required there. And in many cases, we can get away with just updating a single widget if we know what the actual specific action that's been done is. So if we know something's been enabled and we know it's a button, we can just fire on button enabled. And if you don't know what's going on and there's been some kind of global refresh, you have to do a full update. We want to minimize that. So the partial updating of a dialogue is possible with JS Dialogues. What's relatively new for this JS Dialogue thing is that the style we use in desktop for rendering the font widgets and other previews like that are now available in JS Dialogue as well. So these are on-demand rendered in the sense that there's like whatever 12 or 15 entries here that are need to be shown. And then the online says, please give me the preview images for these 15 slots. And they come back and they're shown there like that. So there's on-demand rendering for these new custom displays and like that. What's also new as well, or I believe is new as well, is the ability to show what the keyboard accelerators are for various things like that, so you can interact, you can bring up this heads-up display to show you what are your shortcuts for the notebook bar. On accessibility front then, I think I've said in various other talks, but it's the same issue here again, is that you want to avoid as much as possible custom widgets, and especially for online where these custom widgets, you may even have accessible implementations for them on the desktop side, but that's no particular use to you. in the online side. If you have basically a canvas and you've drawn various things to it, then you are just drawing things to it from the online side as well, and we can't get information from it. So this is an example where we have value sets over on the LibreOffice side, which have accessibility information, but that accessibility information isn't available on the browser side. So it is much more convenient for us to move away from such a value set, change it into a more standardized icon view thing as well, and that icon view thing on the browser side has the accessibility information to know that something is a picture and that the text is a label for that, and you get that accessibility stuff for free. So it's an example of where we've moved value sets for that previews here into icon views, and why that changes take place and the advantages are for accessibility purposes. And that's what I got from Trimmer. Thank you.